people, it becomes reality to people. And I got tired of existing within that box. And it was just something that like people kind of start to put on me, like, oh, this is how you show up, this is how you are, this is how you behave, this is the music you like, this is the music you make, this is the way you think, because aesthetically you've presented this world that's very cohesive, and to the point where people thought it was my real life. And I was just like, all right, like, this is aspects of who I am, but aestheticized and conceptualized into art. And so the art side of it is like, no, I just want to be me, and like whatever I present is me, and like nobody can throw nothing on me because it's me, and like it's not some other thing that like can take a life of its own and kind of move without me. And I think also the business part of it, honestly, is like when you build up like leverage in a thing or like value in a thing, and then maybe that thing gets out of your control, you can kind of decide the value of it. You can take it away and present it later if you choose to, or never present it again. But I think I felt the need to leverage it against who I am today and what I'm trying to do in the future. And as long as that existed in a accessible format, people wouldn't let me move forward. And so I had to kind of like crush it and fold it up and put it in my pocket and let people know, like, hey, I'm Lawrence Matthews. This is my actual life. This is my actual story. These are the things that I actually think about the world and want to share with the world, and you just have to receive that, because this other thing based in my youth, based in my early 20s, is that, and you can enjoy it still, but I'm a grown man, and I want to like express other things, talk about other things that I felt like didn't match up aesthetically, you know what I mean, or conceptually or whatever, right? It just didn't match.
So you felt like there was a pressure on you to kind of be someone. You felt kind of like boxed in pretty much.
Yeah, it's partially my own doing. Like you make stuff and then you create rules around what this stuff is and what it sounds like and what it is. And then when you try to like, when you mature out of that, or you grow out of that, or the purpose that it served is gone, it's like, all right, what do you do now? And for me, it was also based on a lot of interpersonal work in terms around like getting back to like my childhood self and like healing childhood traumas or early childhood traumas and like things like that. So it's like, well, where do I go if I found myself being amplified as something that's not me, right? It's something I created. And it's like, well, I'm trying to get back to like this pure version of self, this healed version of self, or this unharmed version of self. And so it's like in doing that kind of work, you have to go backwards. And like, I was like, all right, so where did I feel the most purity and happiness and joy and whatever? And it's like, oh, I was like a kid, like 5-6 years old. And like, before any of this world existed, this career, any of this stuff, I just was somebody free in the world running around. And so I was like, well, I want to be that person again. I want to be Lawrence. I just like little Lawrence and just run around and be creative and be free and make from that place and live from that place and see where that gets me, because I maybe don't like the direction that this other thing that I've created is starting to take me. You know what I mean? So it's like a little psychoanalyst, you know, stuff in there, here and there.
Yeah.
That's interesting and amazing, kind of seeing that be played out for you in real time, almost you kind of like shedding that dead skin in a way and kind of like having a rebirth and coming into a new just journey. So I was listening to music from both of your Spotify accounts, from Lawrence Matthews and from Don Lifted,
yeah,
earlier. And so I just wanted to know if you've maybe figured out or kind of defined what we can expect from you artistically now, from Lawrence Matthews now.
Yeah, I wish I had like, so I have so much music and I wish that like I could put it out right now. I can't. We have to do it properly. And so it's like interesting, like as I'm building up this thing, I've never done what I'm doing now with this much visibility. I used to do this all the time. I used to like do shows with music that nobody's heard. And that was just my thing. And I would just tease music for years and then put it out eventually. And so like now it's very much like, yo, I have an album and a half worth of material and one song out. And it's like that song, Green Grove, I do feel like encapsulates so many aspects of what the rest of the music is and will be. But that world is complete. That world is built. You know, we recorded the album that is going to come out, you know, planning to come out this year. We recorded that from November 2021 to like July 2022, and completed it then. And so while I was like very visible as Don Lifted and like releasing my album and all these things and like doing shows, I was already writing this other thing that I knew. I kind of just had like a gut feeling of where things were going. And so I was already recording from that place and like documenting that transition through the music and through my personal life. And so that world has been built. It is very Southern. It is very, you know, which Southern is Black, and it's very of the soil. It's very, I mean, for lack of a better term, we like describe it as dark, but it's like Southern Gothic. It's very much like all of the things that you know and love from like Southern music from like the late 90s and 2000s, but something a little deeper and darker underneath the surface. Because that is the experience of being from the South is like, yes, it's beautiful. Yes, there's all of these different things and like so much culture and so much richness, but that is also informed by like the trauma of what it is to live in the South, specifically what it is to live in Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm not one of the people who's like in this boat of like, I can love where I'm from, but also want to change where I'm from and make it, better, you know what I mean? And I'm very much in that group. And there's people who reject that. They just want it to, they want to ignore it. They say, oh, crime is everywhere, murder is everywhere, this is everywhere. And it's like, but the numbers are there, the stats are there to say that there's a different thing happening. And then even on a spiritual level, our history is just different. Memphis's history is different. The Southern history is different. And me being a visual artist and being somebody who's deeply into history, I can't ignore that. And that flows through the work that I make, and you hear it in the work that I make. So it's not all just turning up and having a good time or you know, crazy 808s or whatever. It's all there, but it's also this other stuff that speaks to the history of this place, whether it be for enslaved Black folks or impoverished Black folks or disenfranchised Black folks, but then also the indigenous folks who were here before all of us, who, you know, this bluff, that was theirs. So all of that is flowing through the music all the way from their time being here all the way to now.
Soul and fuel, the river, the money, the your drain, divide your mental.
All right. Good evening, everybody. We right back here again, doing the same thing. And I hope you all enjoy what we're doing. Because I'm going to play it if the God be good to me. And I have a little opening piece. It's a little fast piece. You know, I told you I didn't play no rock and roll. But it kind of sounds like it.
I was watching. I saw one of your TED Talks from a few years back. Or yeah, maybe it was like 8 years back. I don't know. But I was listening to it, and you were talking about your complex kind of feelings about Memphis, at least during that time. And you even moved from Memphis kind of intentionally to kind of get away from it or explore something new. But you came back and everything. So what has been your journey and how you view Memphis now?
I think it's an amalgamation of some of the stuff I just said in terms of like, it's very much, I am a product of it. And we are like, we shape this place at the same time. Like it's everything that we love and hate about this place. It's us. It's like, it's our shadow. Like Memphis is that or whatever. And so my relationship with it, I am in a place where I want a lot of different things for this place. And I've spent enough time here and I've worked in like sectors of the arts and community and whatever to try to aid that change. But I see the obstacles that are present, and those obstacles can't be changed in the way that I maybe exist today. And so I'm working very hard to change my reality so I can then aid in a different way. And at the same time I'm trying to do that, I'm also trying to inspire other creatives who are here, other artists who are here, to navigate this place the same way. And it's something I'm gonna speak about at the show as well, but I'm from a generation of a certain crew of artists. And then there was people before us and people before us. And so when I look at like where they are and what they've gotten from the establishment or the infrastructure here or whatever, I'm personally not satisfied with what I've seen happen before me. And I'm looking at folks who are younger, who are hopeful and optimistic about this place, because y'all honestly have way more opportunities than we had, but there are still things that are missing that are concrete and necessary for us to be able to survive as not only artists, but Memphians, right? So what is it to be successful in what you're doing and then, you know, something negative happened to you, or you to be become a victim of the things that this place can manifest, or we can manifest in this place, right? And so what is it to change culture in that way through art, through, you know, us, because y'all are a part of this too, right? Like we're all a part of this. Every active participant in this environment can affect that change. And so what is it for us all to be individually striving for that change and taking whatever we get from the world, whether it's New York or California or whatever, or our success nationally, internationally, and feeding and bringing that back. And so I think about like people like Derek Fajor, who has been like a mentor and like a great help to not only me, but many other artists. Artists like Derek Fajor, who's like, are helping not only people like myself, but other folks do what they're trying to do. And so like, he's giving back through his camps and all these other things. Like he's creating infrastructure here that the city is not capable of creating, or the arts entities are not capable of getting, because their funding comes from percent from art programs and all these things. And it's really a funding issue. And so the more success that we have, whether it's based here or elsewhere, telling the stories of here and then taking that back, I personally think that's the way that we can affect the type of change that we want, to where when y'all hit whatever age, y'all not concerned with the same things that I may be concerned with right now, or when people want to have kids or whatever they want to do in life, or start businesses or galleries or practices or studios, they know that there'll be people that can be there, and they know that there'll be a community that is culturally connected in a way that will benefit everybody. And I, and that's really what I'm concerned with right now, if that answers the question. Yeah.
Something you can do. Oh, you need to realize all things can come to you. Just believe it's all about your heart, baby, and you're gonna make
Yo, sorry I have to do that. Yeah. You're listening to The Audio Box with Devin Jermaine and
Trinity Adair
and
Lawrence Matthews. Special guest.
Yes.
Lawrence Matthews, yeah.
In this thing.
Okay, perfect. We are back from break. And so I wanted to dive in with some more good questions for you. So looking at your work in photography and your music as a musician, your visual art, seeing everything, I feel that the aesthetic and the vibes all just kind of coexist, even the way you choose to dress yourself and present yourself fashion-wise. Would you say that there are multiple different sources of inspiration that you get for each different artistic outlet, or do you feel that it's all kind of just mashed up together in a way?
I think you kind of nailed it. You kind of went out the things. I'm from the art world, and when I say that, it's like, I'm also from the 2000s in a way, in terms of like the way that music was being presented, and like in early 90s as well. And so like people were like larger than life, and that was like present in everything that they did, and that was present in how Prince moved, and that was present in how like Michael Jackson was, and just all these people, like the people like Eddie Murphy and like all these stars, and Michael Jordan like embodied what he was on the basketball court everywhere that he was, for good or bad, right? Like for good or bad, we're not saying all these people are perfect, but it's like for good and bad, people embodied those things. And I think for me, if I'm building a world and I'm selling a world, and that goes back into the other things, I wanted to get away from a world that was like purely fantastical in ways, right? But it was based in me. But this world is purely me turning up the aesthetics of what it is, or my experience as Lawrence Matthews as a person. Like, what is it to turn the knob up on that, in terms of like, how does this manifest in the music? And like, how are these stories told? And where are you from? And digging into lore, like your own lore, you know what I mean? Your own family's lore, your own regional lore. Like, what is that? Like, and I've been discovering stuff that's like, oh, this is perfect for this world that I'm building. And it's not to say that these things aren't true, they're true, but that's the whole thing. It's like, and then also like being from the South and being from rural areas and like the country and the suburbs and things like that, it's like, and then also even in the city, but like specifically like the country and like the folklore, and that's where all that comes from all the cultures. It comes from these other places, like these tucked away spaces. And so for me, being that, right, it manifests in all these different things. And I think clothes are a part of that too. Like, you know, for the show, I'm supposed to wear like this, like Dickies work outfit. Like this very much like this work outfit, damn near milkman looking kind of work outfit. But then draped in little aesthetics of what it is to be me and what it is to be a Memphian. But the reason why that's present is because it's an acknowledgement of like where I come from and like the work that like all my people are blue collar worker people, and artists themselves tend to be blue collar working folks. Like we are very hands on in doing what we do, whether it's visual artists or public artists or sculptor or a welder or any of these things. These are also forms that come from other places, like the person who paints, you know, a house or welds some metal or builds a sculpture or builds a bridge. Like these are all some of the same overlapping kind of skills in that way. And then it's the same kind of thinking. And so me being a person who's been an artist and a career artist for as long as I've been a career artist, that you know, DIY, you got to do it yourself, you know, get it out the mud kind of way of showing up is present in everything that I do, because I'm the one, like I'm, you know, not signed right now. I'm independently building a team around what I'm doing, but I lead that team. It's my company. And so it's like, what is it to find yourself in that space where you're leading your own company? And it means that you have to send these emails. You have to do this. You have to do that. And it's very much like, it's all your hand in everything, just like if I was building anything else. And so when you go back to, you know, my parents and my grandparents and all of those things, like they were, you know, kind of blue collar folks or whatever. Like my dad works in the post office. My mom had a kind of different thing, but like my mom worked within like architecture and stuff like that. But like she was able to, like she was great in school, went to Stanford. Like she had a different reality than like most of the other folks, you know, the men specifically in my lineage or whatever. And so, you know, my dad works for the government, you know, he's probably out right now, you know what I mean, working in what we are scared to go out in, right? And so it's like, he's out doing that right now at 60 years old, right? And my granddad on my mom's side was working in sanitation. And then my granddad on my dad's side, he's a pastor now, he's a preacher now, but at one point he drove like the city bus, like he drove the city buses. And then the people before that were sharecroppers, like right before them were sharecroppers. And then right before that was, you know what I mean? And so it's like, that legacy is not too far away from me and how I like show up and like in digging into my work and in digging into these stories and digging into my own personal lore is like, I want to represent that through how I'm presenting myself. So like a lot of the things that I'm wearing these days are very simple, very like work related, you know, Carhartt, Dickies, very simple, you know, just very simple stuff. With little tiny accessories, but that's all intentional in a way, but it's not me, you know, pretending or something. It's just me connecting to a feeling. And so that feeling of being blue collar in that way and representing that and trying to, you know, and again, the stories I'm telling, like I'm not on these songs flossing. I'm not talking about like how much money I'm getting and all of this stuff. That's not my reality. Like I'm an independent artist who's been based in a region that it's hard to make a career here. And I know that for a fact. So what am I going to do on a record talking about all this fictional stuff? Like, I want to talk to real people's experiences and what people going through. And it's hard out here. Most everybody I know, all my loved ones work in factories. My brothers, my cousins, everybody I know works at Amazon, FedEx, or Nike or something like that or whatever. So like, that's my reality. Like, that's my fallback. Like, there is this or I end up doing that and I'm not doing that, right? And so that's reality, and it's going to continue to be the reality of most of the lay people here who are not artists in some way, or even are artists, right?
Find the common denominator, enumerator. Never know who to hate and cater to your ego. I'm sorry like Atari, who's the cousin to Coleco. Bish in Puerto Rico, back on the street like Chico. The barge, he large and got a lack in the garage. Few parts here and there, I declare hard. My lord, one at Clark, one at Spelman. Both know each other and it's cool, you can tell. When he step off in the party, women jump for joy. But all the wild scheming, they gon' jump the boy. For spitting off that bourgeois. My watch, my car, I'm a star. I'd rather be a comet by far. Rock. Old school players to new school fools. Cast keep it jumping like kangaroos. But skew it on the barbie, we ain't trying to lose. Say I be got it, they done change the rules. Old school players to new school fools. Cast keep it jumping like kangaroos. But skew it on the barbie, we ain't trying to lose. Say I be got it, they done change the rules.
Deliver this through your audio. Ghetto mafioso, pro hydro. Been bagging up low. Price that longevity suggests make moves slow. Take time, bro. 8, react, 9, blow. Hydro, slide, roll like Ronaldo. Fly, ride, though. Sh- looking wide, though. Then glide, yo. Flipping the page, I go. Watch 5-0. Jump on my meat, ride slow. Watch those undercovers, cop those. Rock those, Glock those. Leave them back and collect spot grows. Keep a watch, froze. Lean on the yacht, wash clothes. Let the chop blow. Bag and have a block, block grows. What?
Old school players to new school fools. Cast keep it jumping like kangaroos. But skew it on the barbie, we ain't trying to lose. Say I be got it, they done change the rules. Old school players to new school fools. Cast keep it jumping like kangaroos. But skew it on the barbie, we ain't trying to lose. Say I be got it, they done change the rules.
But I bust raps like D-Boys bust Gary. We the type of people that don't bury the axe or the hatchet. Every time we see your link, we snatch it. Ride around our hood, talking that dumb. So cabin, it's crap like plumber and summer's grass. I've been in the game for a minute. Seen some suckers like y'all passing, thinking your light skin. All right then, little boy, why you frightened? The dungeon family gonna be hit, so keep right. I gotta hit the source, I need my other half on mic. Because that southern play, illicit Cadillac music was a classic, right? Call it party point indicator, they got my back. So we gonna keep on jamming and stabbing up in the track. I think it's time to bungee, but buddy, we will be back. And I'm finna put some D's on the lag. No doubt.
Old school players to new school fools. Cast keep it jumping like kangaroos. But skew it on the barbie, we ain't trying to lose. Say I be got it, they done change the rules. Old school players to new school fools. Cast keep it jumping like kangaroos. But skew it
on the Broadway, we ain't trying to lose. Say I be got, they done changed the rules. Old school players to new school fools. Cats keep it jumping like kangaroos. Let's keep it on the Broadway, we ain't trying to lose. Say I be got, they done changed the rules. Old school players to new school fools. Cats keep it jumping like kangaroos. Let's keep it on the Broadway, we ain't trying to lose. Say I be got.
For your art in general, or like the different fields that you do, you say you were introduced to them at a young age. So I guess, which, how did you go about developing or being introduced to all of these art forms?
I think it was all accidental. I do put a lot on like my dad and like our upbringing. And I think he didn't know, like he wasn't aware of what he was doing. I don't think he knew that he was making little artist children. But it was a lot of music in the house, lots and lots and lots of music. And we have tons and tons of tapes of like my early childhood and my brother's early childhood. So like we can watch and clarify, oh, like there was this type of music being played, this type of music, the stuff that we don't even remember. It was just always around. Cameras were always around, you know, because my dad was recording. And so it never was like out of our wheelhouse in reality to end up being filmmakers or end up being musicians, because that is what was present, that and sports. And so I think unintentionally we were introduced to so many of these things, to records and all this stuff. Like I have very vivid memories of like drawing on, you know, vinyl, you know, covers and stuff, and filling in like what was that, like Lionel Richie's teeth on like one of his covers. It's like I was doing stuff like that as a kid, so I was drawing on that type of stuff. I never was too interested in church, and I would spend church drawing on the programs and stuff like that when I did go, which was not often. But that was kind of always present, like these little seeds of things. And so when you get older and you start being able to make decisions for yourself, you kind of maybe are drawn to things that feel familiar. And so music always felt like that for me. I was always loving. I was obsessed with music and still am obsessed with music. So much so that I would like to teach some form of something connected to music one day. But also history was a part of that, because, you know, we always were very aware of like our history and where we came from in terms of, you know, the history of Memphis and the South and, you know, MLK, but then also like Malcolm X and having that kind of narrative being present in the house, Stokely Carmichael, and, you know, Megar Evers and all these people, like their stories that were rooted around this place were always very much like present in my early childhood development. And, you know, the words of like folks like, you know, what's that, Muhammad Ali, and like just the Nation, and like just all of this stuff was always woven together, like within Christian kind of Southern things too. So it was just like, of course I would end up being an amalgamation of all those things, and those people were always very much rooted in community. And the music that was being played, you know, my dad was huge into Tupac, like super big into Tupac, and obviously Tupac was very much community driven. And then at the same time I was hearing Outkast and all this stuff, so it was like very experimental sounds were present in there too. And then my mom is listening to like Sade and like all that type of stuff at the same time. So there's just like, it's just cauldron of like stuff and influences that once I did start making, you think you just making stuff out of your head, but it's all basis, you know, in your early childhood development. And so, yeah, that kind of became a thing. And in terms of visual arts, I mean, all kids draw. Like, I don't know any kid that doesn't draw. And I think the difference is somebody tells you that you suck or not, right? And like, but we all suck. You know what I mean? Like the reality is that we're all children drawing. And so somebody tells you you're good, so you keep doing it. And I think for me, that's kind of what it was. I had teachers and different people who were like, oh, you're good. You're really great at drawing. And I just kept drawing. And then that became the thing that I just was good at throughout school. And then I figured, you know, when I had to go to college, because it was either college, work at FedEx, or go join the military. And I was never joining the military, and I was never going to work at FedEx. So I was like, I guess I got to go to college. And I was going to use college to, I was going to get out of Memphis using college. I was going to go to U of M and then transfer. And I did that. But what ended up happening is like, you kind of get into this thing. But the whole time that I was doing that, I never was really thinking about having a career as an artist. I didn't think that was a thing. I wanted to be a pro skateboarder for a little bit. I wanted to hoop for a little bit. I wanted to, I wanted to be all kind of stuff. Like stuff that is very like regular too. Like I thought it'd be cool to be a garbage man at one point. Like, I was like, they get to ride on back of trucks, it's lit or whatever. Like, but I was a kid, it was in middle school, right? I wanted to be a barber at one point. Like, I wanted to cut hair. I still cut hair, cut my own hair. And I just wanted to do normal stuff because I didn't think certain things were possible, right? Like, you get exposed to all of this stuff, and then it like shrinks as you get older because you go to school and people tell you what you can't do. And it just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. And then you come to a place where you just be like, I'm gonna like try to do something else. And I think like Pharrell was a big part of that, like seeing Pharrell's ascension, seeing Kanye West ascension, like seeing Kid Cudi exist. I think that like when I shrunk down to nothing, them all coming out and like doing the things that they were doing specifically towards the end of me being in high school, which was like 07, 08, and 09. Seeing that run of time, like that graduation to, you know, 09, which is 808s, I was like, oh, I want to do this. This is what I really enjoy. And so I just locked in the music and I just never really let go of it. And yeah, you just put yourself in a place to be and you put yourself around the people to do it. And it starts to manifest very slowly. I could dig into all the ins and outs of that, but I'm not. But that's kind of how I got into being an artist. It kind of just was like, I really wanted to be like these guys. Like, I really wanted, like, they're the icons to me, like Kanye at that time and Pharrell at that time and Cudi at that time. Specifically, I started rapping because of Cudi. Like, I didn't feel like I could rap before then. I was like, and nobody's talking about the things I'm talking about, because Kanye at that point was flossing. Pharrell was talking about girls and all this stuff. I wasn't really living that life. But Cudi came out and was like, I am sad and I'm feeling things. And I was like, me too. And so I started to write about that. And then that manifested into like my first mixtapes and first little free albums and projects. But that spark came from, I would say, like NERD being introduced to me in seventh and eighth grade. And then Cudi being introduced to me around like 11th grade.
Days in the OAA, Barcelona. Most fools couldn't price me, silent stunt with a full of PE. And I guess you know me, been in NY so long. Gotta trust they family, especially Brooklyn. Shout out to the Mahdi's. My bloodline runs deep, nights I don't sleep. Figure it's my pops keeping me away and making my mind up to clouds for reality. It's my can't fathom the wizardry, slow mo brain that's backwards, cowards. When you're out of two states, wanna know what I think? Oh, oh, oh. Hey, my mojo so dope. My mojo so dope.
Yeah, we live it, live it. Yeah, oh, we own it, own it. Give a fuck about your lifestyle. Give a fuck about a mother lifestyle. We live this.
Oh, oh, oh.
Give a fuck about your lifestyle.
Hey, I live through words, not metaphors, so I pass to be the rest of the freshmen. Play for Tar Tar, often the fade, till it came like Bogart, said true things. A whole new legion of some aiming high past the eye, this slang, and praise Allah for keeping me away, man. Not in my fell victim to the dope game. Some things will never be the same. I could tell my brother something for some motivation to get him out that gutter. He's leaving behind a family and a mother. Damn, you must understand what I speak about this song. It's how I really am. Yeah, this is how I really think. You can see what I see. Yes, I really blink. Yes, I really drink. I really do rage. My demons at the cage about most of the day. Before I became the age to even rage, I was trying to my sorrows with some old. We live this. Oh, oh, oh.
Hey, my mojo so dope. My mojo so dope. Yeah, we live it, live it. Yeah, oh, we own it, own it. Give a fuck about your lifestyle. Give a fuck about a mother lifestyle. We live this.
Oh, oh, oh.
I only have one more question for you. Seeing that you did go to U of M and Devin and I were seniors, what advice do you have for us? We're both young artists and young creatives in the industry, and we're, you know, making strides to further our career, and you've had so much success in your career artistically and professionally. So what is some advice that you'd want to give us and also our listeners as well?
I would say, I think the thing that I've been most like locked in on is like, do what you got to do for you, right? Like, we have not created the infrastructure necessary to sustain us, like, and don't get caught up in needing to be here to make it, right? Do not get caught up in that. It is a trap, because the reality is that there's generations of folks that before you that have not been able to put together that infrastructure while being here. The people who I've seen do the most have left and come back, or have left and rooted themselves or their entities here, right? And don't feel that social pressure, that societal pressure to stay if your career needs you to go. Do not do that. It is not to say that I regret those aspects of my own choice making, but I will say that there's been various points in time where I had an opportunity to uproot myself and chose to stay to make a thing that was not here. And that is the work of some people. And I do think in the attempt to make something that is not here, you do affect people in a positive way. But what you lose is time and energy. And to be honest, you should dedicate that to your art. You know what I mean? Because I think that somebody, some rapper has a line or something like that, the worst thing you could, like, the, I forget the line, but basically you can't help nobody if you can't help yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, some people look down on that, but it's because it's Stockholm syndrome, and we're guilted into that. People make us feel guilty about leaving home. People make us feel like we're betraying the city. The city is not an entity. The city is us. It's not its own thing. It's a place that we live. And anybody else, the more you move around this world in this space, the more you see how small it is. The people that I know who are very successful, they move around the whole world, how we move around this city. Like, I'm going to North Memphis today. I'm going to Whitehaven today. I'm going to Midtown today. That's how they move. I'm going to France today. I'm going to New York tomorrow. I'm going to South America Tuesday. That's how they move around, because they're thinking differently, right? And they still are rooted where they're rooted. You have to just look at the math of stuff. Like, look at how much you see your mom. Look how much you call your mom. Look how much you hang out with your friends or whatever it is. And like, you look at the math of that while you're working and chasing your dream, right? You're in a studio every day. You're doing whatever you're doing. You're working every single day to do this thing. So your friendships are already changed. Your relationships with your loved ones are already strained and changed differently. So what is that to put yourself in the place to be? What is that for you to like take that time and place yourself in a place that's going to sustain you financially? Because at the reality of all of this, like, I could talk about craft and being creative and being an artist every day. That stuff is cute, but you need to be able to pay your bills, and you need to be able to take care of yourself and take care of the future family that you may like to have. And you cannot do that at this moment here. You will have to do something else. And that's the thing that people do not want to hear, but I don't really care. Because it's irresponsible to keep lying to artists and telling them that they will be able to be sustained in this space, in this moment in time. Right now, that is not true for nearly 95%, maybe 96, 98% of the artists that you know present here. They teach, they do something else, they work, they DoorDash, they do something else. And I'm not looking down on that at all. Some people, that is some people's goal. If it's fine for your art to be 50% of your existence, then I'm not talking to you. But if you are somebody who wants your art and your creative life to be 100% of who you are and your sustainability as a person, do what you need to do to make that happen, because nobody else will do it for you. Your mom can't do it for you. Dad can't do it for you. Your brother, your sister, your teacher, the infrastructure, the building that you're going to perform in or show your art in, they're not going to do that. You're one of many to them, right? But to you, you're one of one. So navigate yourself like you're one of one every single time. Like, you have whatever amount of time you have on this earth, and you have to make the most of that. And so do that for your future children or your future careers or your future business or your future grandchildren. Make your decisions thinking about them and those things. And what, again, what you would like to bring to this place. Can you affect the type of change you want to affect? Working like door dashing and painting on the side, can you affect that? If you can, it's fine. I can't. I'm trying to do something different. And if you also are trying to do something different, I think you have to make decisions based on that. And it does not mean you are abandoning anyone, not your family, not your friends, not your city. If the stories you tell are rooted here, if the stories you tell hire people here, amplify people here, support people here, and then also if you're bringing that stuff back, then you have not abandoned anybody. Like, you haven't. Nobody else talks like this. We talk like this as Black folks. We talk like this. You never hear other people talk like this, right? Unless they are from small towns, impoverished towns, places where people have not been able to escape, have not been able to leave. And so their lack of being able to do something, whether it's systematic or just self-imposed, they project it onto people, right? And we can do that to each other. Don't let anybody project your future onto you. You make your own future, and you have to do that. And as somebody who is in the like a phase of that in my own personal life right now, I have to tell myself that all the time. It's like, because you'll get survival's guilt. You'll feel these things like, I have to go on to be all the things I'm trying to be. And it requires me to have multiplicity, to be here and there and there and there. And so it's like, don't get caught up trying to build the building when you can build yours first, then help people build theirs, right? And, you know, it is what it is, but that I know this from experience. I know this from what I've seen, and the people that I look up to that have affected change, the Derek Fajores, the Elliot Perrys, any of these people who are able to now donate to the organizations that we work with, that we sit inside, they made that choice. They all made that choice. And if we want to be them and then pass down opportunities to, you know, if 15 years from now, you want to be able to pass down opportunities to U of M students, in order to do that, you might have to branch. You might have to grow and be this place and something else. You know what I mean? But that would be my advice. I think that's the most important thing right now. I could go into all that craft and other stuff, but I think right now, knowing the climate of where we are, knowing this place, that is the most potent thing that I could tell people right now, is do not sacrifice yourself for the potential of something you cannot see, that is not directly connected to you in a way. That's not your dream, right? I've been a person who lived other people's dreams and like helped other people with their dreams and not had anything at the end of it. And it didn't even manifest, right? And I don't have any regrets in life, but what I've learned from that is the 60% I was given to something else, I could have been given to myself. And tying it back all into our other conversations, when I stopped being Don Lifted, when I stopped being as active in the art scene and all these other things, that was me getting my percentiles back. Let me take 20% from this visual art, put it over here. Let me take this from working at this nonprofit and put it over here. Let me take this 50% that I was given to this other thing. And now I have 100% of me, and my choices are based in that. And look what I can do. That's kind of the whole thing. Look what I'm able to then do with 100% of my time and my energy versus it being divvied out to all of these different things that I now feel responsible for because I have found myself important, you know what I mean? Or valuable or visible to people, right? But can I pay my bills? You know what I mean? And not just get by. Am I comfortable? Am I happy? Am I sustained? If I die, will there be parades in the city and all this other stuff? I don't think that that's true at this moment. You see what I'm saying? And so how do you get there? How do you get to know that you'll be taken care of, that your folks will be loved on, that your art will sustain forever and take care of your kids and future people and your family forever? That's what you're supposed to be focused on, because that's what's really important. You know what I mean? But long answer.
For sure.
Man, Lawrence, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you for being our first guest too.
Thank y'all. No, thank y'all. Yeah,
but it's just very inspiring to hear you talk, because I can tell you have a huge passion for it and you put your all into it, and sometimes that's not easy to do, and like have you said.
I appreciate it. I appreciate being here. Thank y'all so much. You know, yeah, thank y'all. If y'all need, I don't know what y'all need, but if y'all need anything, let me know.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
And
so
your show. Oh, wait, what, Drew? What you about to say?
No, I was just going to say, you've set the bar for all of our future.
Don't say that.
But go ahead, Devin.
But yeah, your show, mm-hmm. if you guys want to go to it, which I would highly recommend, is on January 26th. The green room on the second floor of Crosstown Concourse.
7 o'clock. Green room, second floor. Yeah, get there at 7 o'clock, because the show, like, it's a pre-show thing, and then the actual show starts at 7:30 with me performing. So get there so you can get the full experience of what I'm trying to do, because I'm not just like a regular show thing. It's like it's an event. It's a spectacle. And so if you get there at 7, you can really soak in that whole entire experience. But it's gonna be great. It's gonna be phenomenal. I'm gonna dig into all these things that I've been discussing here, and all the music is reflective of that. And it's just gonna be fire. It's gonna be fire. Like, come on, it's gonna be fire. Like, it's the last show was fire. The last show was a year and 4 months ago, and it was fire.
And how can people find you on social media? And
Man, just you can Google Lawrence Matthews Memphis, I guess, and then a bunch of stuff will pop up. But or you can just go to like goldenboy.co on Instagram, and then goldenboy.co on TikTok, And then, yeah, Lawrence Matthews Music on Facebook. But if you type in Lawrence Matthews on like IG, Don Lifted will come up, goldenboy.co will come up, which is the account that I'm active on now. And then like my personal life account or whatever. But yeah, I wanted to delete the Don Lifted one, but it's verified and like it's the clout. Can't let it go. I gotta hold on to it until the other one's up here. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you guys. Devin, do you want to close us out?
Dang, I gotta do. I'll let you do the close out, Trent. How about that?
Okay. All right. Hey, that's fine. Switching it up today.
Yeah.
But thank you guys so much. This has been a great show having Lawrence Matthews here to speak to us. Be sure to check him out on all of his platforms and at Crosstown at the Green Room on the 26th of this month. It's been a great day. Y'all have a great one. This is Trinity Adair and
Devin Germain
and
Lawrence Matthews.
All right. Listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis.
Raised by Sound. Stay safe, guys, by the way.
Yes. Stay
safe. Support for WYXR, including the 2024 Raised by Sound Festival, comes from Global Cafe, serving authentic dishes from Mexico, Venezuela, Sudan, and more. Global Cafe hosts immigrant food entrepreneurs cooking an eclectic mix of dishes in Crosstown Concourse, offering online ordering for pickup and delivery. More information at globalcafememphis.com.
Church Health's Memphis Plan continues its decades-long commitment serving local musicians with comprehensive health care, and also tailors its focus to small business owners and the self-employed. Health care through the Memphis Plan provides care in Memphis for Memphians. Related services include preventative health, optometry, dental care, and more. More information regarding availability at memphisplan.org or at 901-272-PLAN.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has been working behind the scenes for 60 years to grow the foundation of Memphis arts. Thank you.
I've been standing here on this corner with this brown bag in my hand. You'd be surprised to find out what I learned about myself and my fellow man. Now you can ask any successful man, black, yellow, red, brown, or white. And if he's honest with you, he's gonna tell you what I'm telling you is right. With all kinds, we got winners, and y'all, we got losers. Some rich that seems broke, and some are wealthy that seems poor. Some wrong and don't know it, and some right and won't show it. So you're blessed if you can recognize that very rock of a man that does the very best he can. And some of all races and groups of all people, we got some of them that cop out and make many excuses. And sometimes we lay it on our race, not saying it's not difficult. Some blacks blame it on being black. And have you ever thought of all poor people ain't black, and all black people ain't poor? But have you ever thought maybe you ain't black? Listen, were you the blackest one in your all-black school? Did even the lighter members of your own race point all the black jokes at you? And when you wouldn't be there pats and fought back cause you was sick of that mess, did they call you a bad sport and say you had an inferiority complex? Did this ever happen to you? Well, then maybe you ain't black. Did the girls ever tell you, step back, black cat, you can't shine, I got a yellow cat to beat your time? This didn't happen to you? Well, then maybe you ain't black. Maybe what you think is real ain't real. You ought to sit back and start listening how a black person really feels. If things have changed so much with us today, why do I still see the light and dark of our own race going separate ways? By teaching the black to hate the white, don't you know you're teaching the dark to hate the light? And if you've done all you could today, get you some rest, cause there's more to do tomorrow. You know, sometimes we get frustrated because we don't have a plan. And one of the main reasons we can't get what we think we want is because we really don't know definitely what we really want. But we gotta beat that. And sometimes we adhere to the mother of violence, which is fear. Show me a violent man and I'll show you a man who's frustrated and scared to death. And he's scared of two things. Scared that something or someone will keep his life from being the way he wants it, or he's afraid that he don't have the mental capacity to overcome those obstacles. And sometimes it's not anything outside the person, it's what's inside him that's holding him back. It reminds me of the story of the boy and his dog. You see, a little boy tied his dog to a pole, but he didn't tie it well. And while he was playing with his friends, the rope came loose and fell. And the dog really wanted to play, but instead he howled and cried. And he stayed right there in the very same spot, because he thought he was tied. As the little boy came back, saw the rope loose and all, he patted his pet on the head and said, "You're a good dog." But the boy, being the master, he had fun and was satisfied. And the dog could have too, but he thought he was tired. As I look at the servants and the masters of men, y'all, I see that same story happening over and over, time and again. Some build and use their minds, and they're being satisfied. And others are standing still and confused and crying, cause they think they are tired. Well, almost done told y'all now. Done told you to bed. Now you gotta go on out there and do the rest. But I found out people hear what they want to hear.